way off of the front pages for a change.
Yep,
oh, sorry. Running some other news. There's nothing really new in the developments on the Watergate thing that moves the story at all beyond where it was over the weekend. Bob Haldeman had a good quote out this morning about the president. No, you know, knowledge of the matter of the cover up and so forth.
Yeah. You know, one of the things about the present situation is that what's going on, it makes things like home well early.
That's right.
Exactly right. We just got there and busted right in the face. In other words, about the only person who gets a chance to say anything is you. You know what I mean? You have to. Step there and slap it down and deny the president.
That's right.
I wonder if the, I read in Canada's memorandum, 16th, his one way or some or other, we are more prestigious.
Well, this is what we're talking about this morning. But the way to do that, Mr. President, in this setting,
yeah.
Just came out of a meeting with Bryce.
Oh, I can't
hear you. No, no, we just completed it.
That's all right.
is to use Bryce a little bit in this area, and we're not going to get the leaders in the Congress because basically the Republicans are fearful, unfortunately. Non-step-up guys, we've got to face that.
Sure.
Is to make them feel that they're a part of this. Now, Bryce mentioned this morning in a meeting, you know, on this particular paper we're talking about, which incidentally is a good start, but read it for content. It has, we've got a lot of work to do on it.
No, before you go, I'm going to talk to Al about it tonight. So we're going to try to do it for Tuesday morning. I'm going to try to finish it today.
We're going to try to finish it today, yes. What, do you want me to get into this at all?
No, 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 go on. No, I just want to get my
right. Bryce feels that one thing we could do to get the leadership to step up is once we get this paper honed down, you know, like by 2 o'clock or something, and it's going to be
2 o'clock
today or whatever.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
We've got to restructure it some. But even in its basic draft form, that Bryce and maybe Timmons, but maybe just Bryce alone, call Scott Ford privately. I want to meet with you very privately and meet with Scott back in his little back office. He says, now look, I want to talk to you about something that is, you know, the fact here. And then goes over the paper in a very confidential way with them, you see. Makes them feel a part of the thing. And Bryce feels that by doing that, then these guys will feel a part of the effort and will get this rebound that the hill could be. I don't know if he's right, but at least it's
good. If we can get enough of them, we can have a few more to do.
Well, his point is just at the outset is to do that. Then in terms of the Congress, not to call a leadership meeting, but to have invite down.
Oh, Tuesday morning, not even have a
leadership meeting. No, no, no. Invite them at some point, and we will have to determine the timing on that, the leadership, not for an official announced major bipartisan leadership, but this is Bryce Brooks, and have Mike and Carl down to the Lincoln sitting room, offer some coffee and so forth, or some bourbon, and just sit down and talk to them. Then, following that, either Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, depending how we get the material put together, release this paper. Just release it with Lynn and Buzz Hart and myself, briefing on the paper, why it was put together, you know, why you're releasing it and so forth. Let it ride out for a while, for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then next week, after you come back from Florida, we would have the whole weekend, not you, but Cannon and the rest of us would have a whole weekend to put together a lot of Q&As and so forth for you to use. And then knocked over and had a major Eastern press conference with Clark Mullen off waiting and Courtney Sheldon reading these off the kid. Now, there's two ways to do this. One would be to have an informal type conversation with four the press guys, either in here or in the library, where you just talk freely, relax about the matters. Because Bryce makes a point which I agree with. We're talking to two audiences. We're talking to Washington, and we're talking to the country.
Right.
When you talk to the country, you got to talk differently than you talk to the country. To the Washington. The paper talks to the Washington. The conversation would talk to the country. Now, the country, in Bryce's feeling, and the group's feeling, wants to hear the president talk about this and discuss it in a very relaxed, forthright way. Because, you know, the polls show that there's some wonderment, but no loss of support. That's why people are joking about it. See?
What do you mean?
In other words, that's why a comedian in Las Vegas can say Watergate, use Watergate, and get a laugh. This is not running rampant, but it adds to the point that they're not laughing about you. I don't mean that. I'm talking about the
air.
I'm talking about the setting. That means that people out of the country, at least it means to me, don't look at this Watergate matter as a serious national, crisis.
Well, if they did, we wouldn't have had that business in Norfolk.
That's exactly right.
But
that's another.
Even Norfolk, sure, it's an $80. That's very close to Washington.
That's right. Exactly.
It's probably not right.
But, so, you'd sit down and you'd have a relaxed conversation about it, just, based upon the paper and the material prepared for it. Then, within 2 days after that, because you'd be prepared, really in off balance, call them in here. So you call the press in here for press time.
You mean have a conversation on television?
Have a conversation on television.
And call them in the office.
Then in 2 days or a day after, call them in here. If they don't know what's happening to them, so you're hitting them from all sides. Now they'll write the president's coming out and fighting the president's, finally,
let me ask you this, Ron. In the field, that has changed, and they think that as far as the speaker is concerned, I should not present it to the leaders.
No. Only in the most informal way.
Like Stennis, I shouldn't maybe.
Well, Stennis could maybe be covered on that thing.
Because they think it'll make too big a thing.
Yeah, Bryce is, and this same thing goes to Bryce has the same impression from the congressional side that I have from the press side.
Which is,
if you have an Eastern press conference, it makes it too big of a deal.
Yeah.
At this point. Bryce's point, if you call a formal bipartisan leadership meeting in the
president's room,
it suggests major crisis.
Okay.
On the other hand, if you approach all of the audiences.
One of the things I can do, too, is to do things to me, is just a few more calls down socially. Myself, really can say hello to the president. I'm talking about this. Keep them on balance that way. I think, I'm not interested to reach that conclusion. I was thinking this morning, putting that paper out with the bipartisan leaders. Again, shoots the big bullet too soon. First, that's another thing. And creates a crisis atmosphere and so on. And all of them do is allow me to stand there and defend myself, which is what I have to do, to explain everything about it. That I didn't do the CIA and I didn't try to keep Grove to catch fire or whatever the hell it was.
On the other hand, you see, if you sit down as you do so well with the leaders and say, gentlemen, let me talk to you about the situation, here's what I was
thinking. I think the idea of four people sitting around talking about it is not bad in a conversation. Prepare well for it. The problems, the presidency, the problems of people. One of the things that I don't think we can say, just want to get here if you want, I'm rather surprised that he follows the news and analyzes it very well, but he seems to think it was a mistake for me to refer to all of the arguments to mine.
Well, that's that.
That seems to be rather general, doesn't it? Why? What else could you do?
Well,
I mean, condemn them.
No. See, but
see,
that,
they didn't know the problem we had.
Yeah, that's right.
See, why I put that in that speech, you didn't have those two men there.
There's no need to second guess that. I think those who write that and those who feel that, and that's not even to concern ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not involved in that process.
No,
they didn't know what you were up against, see.
Yeah. It is hard, you see.
But you see, Patterson,
a great number of people, you see, brought in all the number of people who left the administration. It'll be 15 people in all.
Sure.
And it's a rich experience, and it is. They're leaving about championship, it's true. Shut the press conference. It's true. But nevertheless, they've left, so that's your function. Naturally, the president can pick them, so forth. Yet the country is all that excited about their leaving, and the goddamn is this very strange reaction in that respect. They, I don't know why it is that they're not that big a man. Maybe it was functionless. Go ahead, Bryce.
No, I was going to make the point that I think that Bob and John at this stage are better off for it to appear, for them to appear non-tied. See, number one, what they say has more impact. What they say before the committee has more impact. They have a better chance to build their case and make their case in an unrestrained way. And therefore, that has a better impact on the presidency. Because, look, and I think that's probably what Pat was trying to say in that statement that he wrote.
You see the statement?
Well, his memorandum.
16, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen the precise one, but you just referred to
it. Yeah, well, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. But here's the point about that it basically is the past plan as well to withdraw strength, which does the forward posture, 8 weeks of revelations, that kind of investigation brought up, and so forth and so on. But he points out the problem of the early prime church not to be the president of his friends, all of her being mentioned. The Stannis combat period were having close control to the political edges. They're survived, they have to do it on their own. Once the president takes an excusable action committed in his name by his men, once he concedes to receive Republican counsel in the mornings, assurance that should have been heeded. Once his president states that he too is deceived and heeded, the president becomes effective and not, as is widely believed today, a party in the matter. And to take this posture, we may perhaps have less on the ground bombers in turn to stand and fight. I don't know about that.
How you separate, we have to separate means that you don't say anything to bring them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it also doesn't mean that you have to condemn them or you have to, you know, blast them.
Well, it's all right to say that they've got a chance to go there. They have their right to be heard.
That's right.
Wait,
that's right.
To shut up.
But the reason you're doing it from,
yeah,
if that's from the overall objective is not, is that if you're thinking of the men, which we should, the best thing for the men, and they may not realize that, is the separation.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, rather interesting, they interpret homes as despite things of misinterpretation, say, higher ups are trying to get the CIA to cover up this thing. No, no, it's better than that. Did you read it all through?
Yes.
Is that what he said?
No, but not really, but you have to keep in mind on this whole CIA thing. That's one of the things that the paper does, see, is to deal with that whole CIA matter. And that's one of the matters that has become distorted because of the testimony of Walter's affidavit.
Sure.
And the fact that Bob and John, and people know Bob and John have testified that you asked them to have the meeting.
Perfect.
Now, okay, that being the fact, one of the things that the paper does is to put that in perspective.
Sure.
One of the things that a conversation would do would be to put that in perspective. One of the things that the leader should know would be
that.
You see,
the other one that you get off, you know, I was talking, trying to get to be sure my own recollections are right about taking the matter of clemency. Of course, no conversation ever occurred when you walked in the office at Geneva 6 months. Second, I said, John, did you ever talk to me about Irwin? He said, yes, once. And I said, well, tell me about it. This I got from Bob. Because I said, I want to be sure that, you know. He said, in July, where I told him we were walking on the leaves right after this happened. And I sort of said, probably I've got a line. These balls have done this. I don't want them to have clemency. And he said that I turned around very sharply and I said, well, you can't, couldn't possibly do that because it would be condoning the crime. And he also testifies that he gets an opportunity. But you see, that's presidential condescension. But it's an interesting point.
Right.
We're solid on that issue. There's another issue that is tougher is this whole issue.
Any evidence of that? Turned over to the prosecution. I told him
This was the camera.
No, this is just a story about the... No, a story, I think, a story, basically just the facts indicating that there, was a break.
Right.
Their investigations and so indicated. Now, the only thing that they will kind of claim there is that I, first, actually, the third time, I'm going to claim that he should have reported it earlier. That's not an issue, that's not a problem. He has been there underground with national security. Question, first thing is, this officer involved. Question is whether I should have done something earlier. I spoke about that to Peterson the last time I was talking to him here. He said he had told you, apparently you had this, which I don't know what he was referring to. He said, well, that's over on the bottom line is that we did turn over the information before the thing was over. How did you happen to ask him about it?
Well, you asked him to call him one day about this matter. This was a week or so ago.
Yeah.
And I called him to ask him about, I don't even recall what.
Probably what I...
Well, what you had told him in this whole process, the Attorney General coming in and Peterson coming in. And I said to him, really, I said, well, the point isn't it, Henry, that the damn stuff was turned over. That's the point.
Yeah, and killed the trial.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact is that it was turned over. It doesn't matter what the process you went through before it was turned over, but it was turned over.
This claim will be made, the worst charge you can be made against us, we're trying to keep it, from being turned over.
But not...
But we didn't. What degree he had with us when we were trying to protect national security on the one hand by keeping them out of hunts. But we weren't trying to keep any evidence from that trial out of the drone.
Sure.
To the trial, it was not relevant at all. Because they didn't have to get it to dry hole. Oh boy. Just stop and think of the, where we are.
Where we're we're sitting here spending the time on this, and whatever it is, we're here.
Sure.
And whatever the elements are, we're here.
That's our flock.
And we're here to fight. And,
right.
That's...
No, I don't mean... I am not at all suggesting that the problem is small. I'm simply suggesting that the cause is small.
Right.
The cause, that's the tragedy.
The cause of it all is small. There's something, not that you did, but there's something that happened outside that door, however, and I'm not a whiner or a guy that, but something happened outside that door, Mr. President, as we've talked about before, that allowed a series of events, I'm not blaming it on any one factor, to get us to where we are, to get you to where you are. And you cannot, as we've talked about before, assume all that responsibility unto yourself.
Well, in a sense.
In a sense, because you're the president.
They come in on and talk about
it. Well, but, Mr. President, we've talked about this before. It is staff judgment, staff loyalty, staff points of view that the president must depend on. And something, as I said before, happened, which got us to where we are today, and I think I'm referring to the whole
VESCO.
No, VESCO is
not about Army.
No, I'm referring to what has become known as the Watergate
cover.
No, the Watergate matter.
Yes. Part of what happened, though, was a reaction to this national security thing. We were fighting our enemies.
That's exactly right.
Our enemies.
Which was right. Had to be done.
If we had stopped there.
It had to be done.
They had to. The field reaction. Would never say this to him, but it was. Giving Jeff Gruder the enormous responsibility he did over there at the campaign. And Gruder then taking the Liddy's and the Hunts and that bunch of jackasses over there. See, they were like Barracudas ate him alive. He got very strong cold trend. Not a fan. The tragedy was that Mitchell, who should have been head of the store, wasn't head of the store. And the tragedy was that I might have watched it myself. But Bob didn't watch this.
No, it's not. You can't take it on to yourself.
Bob didn't watch this thing. Now, believe me, they say that Bob proved everything himself. That's bullshit. The children of this campaign know. Bob proved some of it.
Well, I think the point of it is, Mr. President, the mistake, and this is one thing that we have to break out in our minds. We know what we were faced with in 69 and 70 with the buses around here and with the general turmoil in the country. There was a need for internal security. We know what we were faced with in 1970 with all the leaks and so forth that affected and impacted heavily against the national security, foreign policy initiatives that you were undertaking. It then moved to 1971 and into 72, where the plumbers set up to deal with these things, through some force, began to do other activities. And the men were brought in, and as you say, the citizens thing was set up and so forth. That's what I'm referring to when I say something happened outside of that door.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I suppose I could point it at myself as a part of this too. But somewhere, people didn't come in to the president and say, Mr. President, if this is done this way, this is what the possible result will be.
Yeah.
And that was what I mean.
They talk about warning me. That's bull.
You see, when
at all. They warned about it. They did warn earlier. We've got to let it all play out.
And let's face it also. I mean, realistically, you, in terms of your position as president, did not need someone to make a judgment the day before the damn campaign thing went into effect to bring 350,000 $1,000 here and put it in a safety deposit box.
No, I get it.
You see, now, Bob Alderman, I love him, and all due respect to him. And he's a fighter, and he's going to stand by you and all that. But I think the point I'm making, what is the impression that is now coming against you? The impression is that the day before the campaign law passed by the Congress went into effect, 357.
I checked that with Bob. It's just said, Bob, did I ever know about
it? No, you didn't.
He said no. I checked also with regard to the call to Kalmbach. He said that I, you know, our team called Kalmbach and Kalmbach called him back. He said no, I didn't know. He said that all of the have on that. I said, what does Kalmbach say? Kalmbach didn't talk to me either. Did Kalmbach have a telephone conversation with the Justice Department? Said that he wouldn't have done it unless he thought it would have been home and that the President wanted to. But he never talked to me. I didn't know about it.
Well, I understand. Sure. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, the judgments. You know, carrying money in the suitcases and so forth. It's just that combination of things, Mr. President. Of course it's done. And it's done everywhere. It has been done in the past, but that is only one of the, of course, many elements.
Well, as you look at it this bright Monday morning, how you're so good heart.
I'm a very good heart. Absolutely. And what I'm talking to you now is not one of being discouraged at all. It's one, as we said the other day on the phone, the battle is here. It's not as extensive as many people would suggest. But in order to win it, in order to not win the battle, but in order to move ahead to the ultimate goal, which is the achievement of what you want to achieve in your presidency, we've got to face up to this thing coldly. And that's why I'm, I suppose, dwelling on the separation.
Let me say one thing that I think is very important. We've got to get all the hands around any comment, whatever, and so forth, with regard to something called resignation, so you know what I mean? Now, that is pure newspaper and other, and, you know, partisan talk, no, anyone gets it not.
Oh, sure, those who want you to resign are those who didn't want you to be elected. There's not a lot of talk about resignation around here. No one's thinking of those terms.
But my point is, I just want you to just say that's absurd.
Oh, sure.
Every time it comes up, that's absurd. Tell the leader and all that. Because as you well realize, that's the last thing we could do. If you really want to tear this country apart, have a president resign.
Oh, that's right. No question about it. That's what we're talking about here. No question about it. But here again, just to conclude the point that I was making earlier, the case that you can make, and the case of competence that you can make, the honest assessment that you've gone through, I mean, you really have gone through the assessment of that now over the last 30 days, Mr. President. You have done
this.
That's right. You have done that now. You recognize the things that we've talked about and you've talked about to others. You don't have to appeal for the understanding or anything of that sort. All you have to do, quite frankly, in my view, is to talk about it, put it in perspective in a very competent way. You don't have to go to the extremes of by any act.
Instead of doing three networks, do one.
Could do one and then call it. You could do one. And
you know, I'm figuring basically that all people are reading. Well, it depends on how much an audience you want to be. Figuring that basically you're on the people that care would be listening. The one. We all know that the one network we don't know much. The thing about it is that it's more of a conversation and so forth. It's all hard to pick a man up. I'm picking somebody that's going to be able to pass you. And then come off the
get off the
press conference. Oh yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. I do that with the next day. You see, that does not heighten quite as much.
Okay. And then that's after the paper, then we built a normal.
You might have to go with cement.
See, the problem with that now is
picking a
guy, picking a
friend. Picking a gather, rather.
No, absolutely not. But you could do it. You could do it, well, because that's about the slate of it. You could do it with Smith, with Severin or Cronkite. You're better in an adversary relationship anyway. And with the Chancellor. See? Look, it doesn't matter what they ask you.
Yeah, you murder me.
Doesn't matter how they ask you. As a matter of fact, you're far better off having these guys.
Except you don't want to shop like brother.
No, you don't. He'd be totally out. That's why guys like, and you know who a good guy would be? Everest was brought up in there too. The Severite would be all right. But the rest of them, you know, he's kind of has that preacher type.
Good.
that is in our best interest. That's in the best interest of the presidents. And there'll come the day where the pound of flesh.
You know, it's an interesting thing. We have completely have so many people leave and still run the government so well.
It's because there's only one man that counts.
You know, it's an interesting thing that all the thought community could run about all of them there, really. And of course, we've got all the knowledge and your staffers, of course, the Michigan Spans left earlier. Dean Oliver.
There's only one right shape. There's only one man that got this. That there's no one around here who has worked or accomplished anything but the President of the United States. Now, people have contributed in their own way. They have worked hard and they have believed in what they worked for and the cause. And the man who they respect and love, but there's one man who got there, and that's that man. You know, there's no one around you who's
indispensable.
Who's indispensable. Except the president.
Quite true.
And look at it, as you say. Look, who's left? Sure, Grunt. The schedules are still being prepared.
Yeah. I guess so.